Lucky Land Slots, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to LR Mornings. And today's episode is brought to you by the great people over at Grow Generation. More on them a little bit. Hey, Manny, what's up, bud? Monday, man.
No, man, it feels like weekend just flew by.
Oh, so fast. So fast. What'd you do?
We really stayed home, my girlfriend and I, and we caught up on some of the Oscar-nominated films that we had missed. And somehow it's on our list to watch, but we completely missed Nomadland. and then lo and behold, that's the biggest winner of the night. And we're like, I was like, oh well.
I didn't recognize like 90% of what was on the list this year. It was odd.
You know what's funny? It's usually that's the case for me. And I have a different role now with LRM, but now with what we do, I recognized almost all of them except for, well, Nomadland, because I had worked with Judas and the Black Messiah, right. Nancy and I had worked with Sound of Metal, I worked with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and a couple of other films, and I know Gig worked on some too, so it was kind of cool, to be honest with you, to see films that we've kind of talked with some creators or even some actors, actresses, that to see them, you know, winning the most prestigious award in movies.
Yeah.
I tell you though, I didn't like the format too much. So something about the way that they laid them out, it just made them feel like super elitist. And I was a little turned off by it, as far as like, them spreading their social commentary or whatever, or like their agendas, whatever mm-hmm. they are, positive or negative, however you feel about them, that's you personally, but their agendas when they're, you know, all glitz and glamorous and you know, it's kind of like feel like you...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Without getting too political, I will just say this, okay? Anybody in the United States of America can actually directly write a check to the United States Treasury. There's no ifs, ands, ors, or buts about it. You don't get it in return. You're like, here, Treasury, I don't need it. It's yours. So people that, you know, think they should be taxed more, they have the ability to do it themselves right now, today. I mean, it might take a couple days in general, but you know, legitimately, you can raise your own taxes anytime you want. So take that with what Manny is saying, and yeah, guys, you know, the Oscars is always a great time. Awards season, period. It's always a great time to take a look at our society, to take a look at what we are valuing, what we are realizing might not be good, because entertainment reflects a lot of that. However, it's always been there. I mean, going back to the days of the silent film era, and definitely into the golden age of film in the 50s, and of course beyond. That's what we call golden age of the film industry, the 50s, right?
Yeah.
And of course beyond, there's always been celebrity power, celebrity worship, celebrity idolation, and that's not bad per se. But today, the amount of influence that celebrities have, and the amount of celebrities some politicians have, and I'm not talking like former President Trump being a legit like select. No, I'm talking like Representative Ocasio-Cortez. She became very famous as a politician. So you're right. You got people that get up there in these. Yeah, they're $100,000 dresses that they have to return. But the point is, they're still showing up in a $100,000 dress and then saying, "Let's talk about this pay stuff," or despite the limo I came in, let's talk about this climate stuff. Yeah, it's kind of hard to take serious, but yet so many people do.
Yeah, and I think it was just from the very beginning, because you know. Everybody's been also like wear a mask and follow protocols and stay indoors, and here they all are indoors, no mask, no nothing, and the first thing they do is justify it by saying we treated this like a movie set, everybody quarantined and everybody's vaccinated, and we only don't have the mask for the show. I was like, then maybe you didn't need to put on the show if you guys were so, you know, I don't know, I just. The hypocrisy sometimes just gets me.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is the what you missed this weekend, which guys really, it was just Oscars, which is why we just kind of jumped into it. And Manny and I have a few things that we want to talk about awards in general, including a conversation you had with your girlfriend, was it? Yeah. Yep. But I think it's important to understand that awards are supposed to be given to it's beyond your job, right? It's something that is above and beyond the normal. So that's why they set all of these categories, and it's like who here went above and beyond all of the other actors in their films. And they got their own ideas of what above and beyond is. In the military, Harry, we have an awards system as well, right? Some awards I wear on my chest, I don't necessarily think I deserved them. I did my job. I got paid and benefits for doing my job. I don't know if I necessarily earned that, you know, Army Achievement Medal for a construction project, but okay. It's different, however, with, say, my father-in-law, who has two Bronze Stars. And he'll tell you straight up, one, he believes he did earn. He's fine having it. He was, you know, accepting of it. He was involved in the initial invasion there in Iraq and stuff. But that second one, he'll tell you straight up he got it because of his rank and he did not deserve it. But you can't tell certain officers you're not going to give X amount of Bronze Stars away because that officer wants to put it on his freaking resume, basically, his version of a resume. And so I looked at the nominees and I looked at the winners and, you know, some of the top categories for those that don't know, Nomadland, Best Picture, Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, Best Director, Frances McDormand in leading actress in leading role, Nomadland, actress in supporting role went to Yoo Jung Yoon, I'm guessing, for Minari. And then actor in a supporting role went to Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah with what has been being called a upset, the actor in a leading role going to Anthony Hopkins for the father. Looking at, again, additional things and the animated, the just looking at all of it, you can definitely tell the Oscars are not so white, which is a good thing. I like it. I like that Netflix had more nominations than any other studio. I like there's changes happening. But at the same time, given the political climate, you start to wonder, are any of these roles being or awards being handed out because somebody has that position, whatever that position may be in the societal fight? And then how many of these are because you went above and beyond? And as an actor, I get there's an iconography about getting the award regardless for the greater public, but I wonder what it means inside. Because, like I said, my father-in-law, he's got this prestigious award, two of them, and one of them he looks at with like disdain. So it's just a curiosity on that. But what was your take on the nominees and the winners?
So I've heard that criticism before about the Academy Awards,
I'm curious.
No, but yeah, what I'm saying is I've heard it before for a couple of years now, they're just kind of giving awards away. One thing I really, and it sounds wrong, but one thing that the pandemic did, which I think was a good thing, was it forced the Academy to recognize films on streaming services.
Yes.
And I think that's great because it's just the direction we're going in. And although most films are still going to also have some sort of theatrical release, mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is you're going to have some heavy hitters on Netflix. Mank is a phenomenal movie. The cinematography in that film is pristine. It takes place in the 50s.
Oh, it's adventure.
It was done so well. Gary Oldman was phenomenal in that film. I'm not the kind that really can sit for over 2 hours to watch that kind of film, and somehow I did. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom won a couple of awards. That's also on Netflix. That's a Netflix thing. It was that one for being Chadwick Boseman. The last time we get to see Chadwick Boseman in a film, what a job he did.
Yeah.
And then you have other films that you never think would be nominated for an Academy Award, Borat.
Yeah.
The subsequent long title was recognized there as a nominee, and that's an Amazon original.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious as to next year if that, you know, this is going to continue, or, once everything opens back up. If you know, you're going to go back to the original kind of shunning streaming services as before, but I don't think so. I don't think you can.
I hope not. Yeah.
Yeah, but overall, I think that the films this year were really good, very, very strong films. But I think that's because they weren't purposely trying to ignore maybe some streaming services. So I think it evened the playing field because everybody had to go to streaming services at some point. And this year I didn't necessarily hear them too much, you know, blabbing on about certain things. They were just very direct and to the point about the movie and the award. Maybe it's because they were on a time crunch, because mm-hmm. they weren't necessarily supposed to be gathering like that. So it was just kind of like, let's go. But I definitely think that from the films I had seen, I haven't seen all of them, the awards were justified. Soul was a phenomenal movie. Brandon Jones covered that for our site, so if you go look, he has several yeah. pieces for Soul. And then Sound of Metal. I thought that was a phenomenal film. I told you yesterday, you need to watch it. It's about a metal band drummer who loses his hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one hell of a story.
I'm not going to lie. In all of my deployments, and not just deployments, even construction projects, as I was coming up the ranks and more hands-on, my biggest fear was, like, I looked at it and I was like, these are the only fingers I can lose because I need these to play guitar or bass because I do play pick, and I can use my ring finger in the frets, but it's usually, you know, my index and middle and my pinky. So it's like, man, I can't imagine, like, take my legs, but don't take my hands, like, don't take my finger, yeah, and then don't take my hearing or sight, like, I'll lose taste, then I can eat healthy, fuck it, lose, like, yeah.
But, you know, it raises an interesting point, the whole idea of the Academy Awards. And then I was thinking about it over the weekend just because of also it was really some Mortal Kombat.
Yes, where, which was so good. And we will do some spoiler talk after this absolutely. Segment.
Critically, it was being bashed, right? Because of X reasons. But fans, they seemed to enjoy it. They were like, fuck it, man. They gave me good fight scenes. Sub-Zero was amazing, and the fatalities were great, you know. And then, you know, you got the techno remix of the Mortal Kombat intro and things like that. So it served the purpose of entertainment, right?
Yes.
And then you have also, I'll even put Marvel in the same category, Marvel films. Because Marvel films are really, they have a cookie cutter mold that they follow that really doesn't differentiate one of their films from another. They're very, very
formulaic.
Yeah, exactly. So they're never going to win an award because they're not doing anything.
Well, they have won awards. They've won a few and some legit ones.
Not Academy Awards, though.
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah. Black Panther won several, like, legit, where I was even, and I'm a stingy award person. I looked at Black Panther, and I do believe that comedies, horror, thriller, drama are all capable of being, even sci-fi are capable of being best picture. That year, Black Panther, no, you weren't best picture. However, it was absolutely, I looked at it, I was like, costume design, that is not only a nominee, but that should win. I looked at everything that came out that year, and then I was like, production design, I think, absolute nominee and very likely to win because they like period pieces. So a lot of production stuff will go, or you know, those types of awards will go to who period movies, which I get it. It's kind of hard to bring the past to life. How about bringing something that doesn't exist to life in a very real and tangible way? And then, I looked at this. I can't remember his name. I believe he's a South African composer. Starts with a G. Last name, that did the music for Black Panther.
Goranson.
There you go. I said music is potential, but that's tough. Lo and behold, I think they got nominated for all three. They ended up winning four or five, including the hair and costume one. I think it was, which was a big deal because it was an African American lady's first nomination and win in that category.
They won three.
Three. Okay. I said four or five. Maybe it was four or five total nominations that I was thinking.
Six nominations.
There you go. I was close. See, that's how I would have won the Price is Right. I was close, but under on that one. And that's one of those things. But when I saw it take a best picture slot, and I looked at the other best pictures, and I looked back at Black Panther, I'm like, I love this movie, but there's some story issues here. Some of these actors not so great, and some of this writing, that's not a best picture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, is it capable of getting the best director, the best cinematography, best actor, actresses? Like, talk about the conversation you had a bit with your girlfriend over this stuff.
Well, first off, to your point, I think Black Panther is probably the exception to the rule, just because they, like you were saying, they had to completely world build and completely reinvent a culture, or not reinvent, well, invent a culture for the film, because we've only seen it in, you know, animated and in
comic book.
So it did warrant a recognition, because of the fact that they had to really go outside the box to what we see in every, you know, Avengers, because it all looks the same, really. And Wakanda's an exception. Even in Endgame, when they arrive to fight, they look so much different than everyone else. But they're in a different world of their own in Africa, of course. So it was good. I think winning those other awards, they were not, as much as I loved it, and I mean I saw it I think two or three times in theaters. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it warranted Best Picture.
Yeah,
and I'm glad it didn't get it, because I think that would have just been fan service more than anything else. Lucky for us, the Academy voters are very much stubborn with their ways, and I don't think they'd give them. Hell, I was surprised last year when they gave the Oscar to Joaquin Phoenix for Joker.
Yeah.
I think he did deserve it, but I didn't think that they would. I didn't think they would give it to him. So I thought that was interesting. To your next point, so we were talking about what is the difference between a creative team making a movie for entertainment purposes rather than an artistic point. For example, Marvel movies and even like Mortal Kombat and a lot of horror genre is made for entertainment purposes, not necessarily for, you're not looking for an award, you're just making a movie. But I kind of feel like everyone starts out that way, and then your film just kind of develops into that. Because hell, I'd be surprised if anyone over at New Line really thinks that they have a film in Mortal Kombat that warrants any kind of award. But you're happy with the fan reaction and you know, getting positive feedback. Films like, let's take a franchise like American Pie, or like The Conjuring, or like and the DCEU films, really. You're looking for box office hits. You're looking for the money. You're looking for the gross, not necessarily to make a film that is transcended in some category as far as cinematography, sound, costume design, best picture, actresses, really trying to push somebody over the edge. So, I mean, what is the recognition for those films that are not making Academy lists? Is it just box office?
Box office and a pretty mm-hmm. pretty number next to an ugly number on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see the screen.
Yeah, and then
shared.
Yeah, and then the other problem with that is, so if you're a critic, for example, when I looked into this film and I didn't get to review it, Fox mm-hmm. did it for our site.
Was I looking at it in the same lens that I was watching, you know, Mank, or you know, one of these other films? I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking to be entertained by video game characters that were going to beat each other's asses. So because of that, does that warrant it to be a bad movie?
No, absolutely not. One of the things I found interesting, and I'm not sure if I'm going to find them all while I'm on here, but some of the things that people, like, you know, it's hollow, deeply, and offering little to anyone not deeply invested in the franchise. And then you start looking at some of the people that see the movie for what it is and what it was supposed to be, and they end up scoring it higher. And you'll see people
grow generation
complain about, oh, it was corny, or
it's deals and discounts
juvenile
grow
fantasy
on the market.
Story.
Grow generation,
like,
serves customers
video
across
game
the nation
about
and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation
yeah.
brands.
And
go to www.growgeneration.com,
exactly,
where the
so,
pros go to grow.
Like, the Academy, what is the, and you and I kind of already know the answer, but what is the what makes a movie great, better than the rest to deserve best movie, best picture? You know, what in your mind, Manny, makes it something available to be best picture, and what makes an actor or actress able to win that top award, and why can't it be an amazing horror film like 1408, or a really cool action thriller like I Am Legend, which I swear to God on my life I would have handed Will Smith an Oscar for that film.
I'm not sure. I think it's kind of like in the NBA or some of the other sports where, if you're not playing on that all-star team, you're not necessarily going to get that recognition as the MVP. Prime example, Steph Curry for a couple years, MVP.
Oh, one sec. sorry. What?
I'm sorry. Basketball is way more entertaining than hockey, I'll tell you
oh,
that.
Oh, my ass.
Yeah, 100%. Fight me.
I will.
But the thing is, once their team kind of settled down and weren't necessarily in the picture, right now he's one of the top scorers and he's playing his head off, but he's not necessarily getting that MVP recognition. I feel like it's the same in films. When an actor and an actress also doesn't have that accompanying maybe best cinematographer or best sound or best, you know, a couple of other categories to accompany it, then it... Then they may lose a little bit of that merit, because it's not just their role, it's how they are portrayed in their role that elevates them. It's the same thing in a restaurant when you have Michelin stars. It's not just the taste of the food, man. It's the silverware. It's the
atmosphere,
service,
experience,
all of that. It's all of that great
lighting and
that make it all together. So a lot of times when you see nominations in the Academy, they're multiple for the same film, and then more times than not you see that kind of almost take a couple of categories like No Man Land did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helps them, and that's what elevates it to an overall best picture.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I would be interested in digging into some of the past technical things and seeing how many lines you can draw from, you know, sound production, some of the technical stuff, to at least the top three: actor, actress, and picture, maybe director, and see, like, what are the most common technical awards that are also won by the Big Four, you know. That would be interesting. I like I said, I looked at when Black Panther was up for Best Picture, and that was the year help me, the black and white film dealing with I think it was troubles in was it Mexico City? God, what was that? The movie that won that year. I think that was the 2019 Oscar.
Green Book won the Oscar that year.
Okay, so maybe it was the year before that I was thinking of. Let me see. No, Roma. Yeah.
It did. You're talking about Roma?
Best Picture. It won
International Feature.
Right, and he got Best Director. So when it comes to who looking at Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, Roma, A Star Is Born, I thought was overrated all over the place, and I'll give them Vice, this really dark comedy, you know, having seen it and stuff. Yeah, I thought, look, you had the writing, the story, the delivery, the cinematographer. Yes, I can agree. You are a worthy candidate to be considered. Not necessarily win, but be considered. Black Panther, I mean, compared to Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Roma alone, let alone adding in, you know the favorites, Stars Born and Vice, yeah, Black Panther didn't quite belong there. But that brings this question. I think Endgame could have belonged there. I think when you look at some of the detailed words of what each of these are, it'll be best or achievement in such and such, or it's got a specific wording, and like the visual effects. And I looked at it, Thanos in both Infinity War and Endgame, and I'm like, where's the award? And then I looked at Ready Player One when it went up for. I was like, you guys are idiots if you don't get. And that was the year First Man won the visual effects. I was like, that's Apollo 13, but they land on the moon. There's no difference. It looks, feels like Apollo 13, but they get to land on the moon. That's it. I'm sorry. It was not groundbreaking or an achievement in visual effects. They used enhanced technology, but it's the same shit. Thanos was something different. Ready Player One. Like people that have never watched the movie, get a hold of the extras. Watch the making of. That alone will blow your mind and show you why that deserved a achievement in visual effects. Well, what do you think?
I agree with you on Ready Player One. I 100% don't agree with you on Avengers Endgame. It just looks like every other Marvel movie. It just has a little. It has that climatic moment from that was building from 10 years. It's the same superhero movies that we've been seeing. There's nothing.
You don't think Thanos deserved a achievement in visual effects?
No. Nah,
for what they did with him?
It was like every other character that I had seen. There's not there to me, there was nothing. Well, it was great. Yeah. I just there was nothing. I didn't see anything special about it. Ready Player One, on the other hand, yeah, that was I don't know how the hell. I haven't seen those extras that you're talking about. I may have to go look them up. But yeah, that movie was bonkers in the way it was put together.
Yeah,
At least the.
Go ahead.
At least the nomination, man. That's all.
Yeah, they're in, like the stage is this giant white, you know, motion capture stage. There's real stairs and real chairs and things for them to interact with. But legitimately, what Spielberg gets to see through a VR set is the fucking Oasis with the crew, with the cast in this white stage, and it's awesome. It really is. Last thing on this, there was a couple years ago they wanted to do what was it, best popular film or best film in pop culture, so some basically an award that was for all of the popular movies that the snobs, Scorsese, excuse me, think are just thrill rides. They're not worthy of awards. I don't know about you, but I fucking love spending my money at amusement parks. Manny, what about you? I didn't like that category. I didn't like the idea that we popular film lovers aren't worthy of best actor, actress, or best picture. What do you think about that idea? Because I've heard rumblings about it again. Some sort of pop culture category.
It's not warranted. I don't think it should be done either. You're basically handing out, you know, best grossing movie or something like that. It's not, you didn't do anything special other than make money. And we know that can be just because it's a Marvel movie, it's going to probably always win. Just based on how many people watch it, but they didn't achieve anything special. I mean, hell, you have even Captain Marvel, which is a horrible movie, over $1 billion. That doesn't mean it needs to win an award. It's just, yeah, just popular because it's Marvel. So I think it's a horrible idea. I see what Scorsese is saying sometimes with the films. Because I think there is that wish that there was more people who could appreciate some of these directors, writers, artistic approach that make phenomenal films, but they never will because they don't have Spider-Man or Batman in them. Everyone is so kind of almost just ready to be, just to sit there and kind of be zombified by a mm-hmm. by a film sometimes and just be entertained, which is fine, 100% fine. There's not a lot of room for a film that maybe requires you to do some some critical thinking or to really pay attention to cinematography or just the ride that it's being written in. I know that it's kind of in Mank, they talk a little bit about that. As he's writing Citizen Kane, it's like people aren't going to get this. And it's like, you know, well, as I lay down this road, and I trust the audience that they're going to be able to follow it and get to the same destination. But the thing is, my roads aren't straight. My roads are like a cinnamon roll, and so I thought that was beautifully delivered to the point of where, you know, there's. Marvel movies are almost like, there's, like I said, nothing wrong with it. They're almost mm-hmm. like, what do you call the video games that you can only go one direction?
Linear.
Very, thank you. They're very linear. And while some of these other films, there's just so much. I mean, like, what was it, last year's winner for Best Picture, Parasite? Dude, that's 100%. Movie. Yeah, great movie. And you want to try to compare that to any real superhero movie? They're not on the same playing field. And that's why I get it and I understand, and which is why I would never support like a pop culture category. Save that for the MTV Awards. Mm-hmm. Save that for, you know, all these other pop culture companies that want to, you know, pat these films on the back.
And start recognizing that just, oops, sorry, because there was a time, let's not forget, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King was a top winner, record holder for a while of Academy Awards, you know? there's no way to today any if it, even if that exact movie was remade with modern tech, you know, modern, you know, acting delivery, but same caliber, it wouldn't even get nominated today.
But at the time, you know, it was a lot of it was visually groundbreaking.
Well, I mean, oh, yeah, dude. But they got director and mm-hmm. picture and all of that too. Who?
Yeah, I mean, just Jaws is another example of that. Mm-hmm. The Star Wars score, you know, and so it's been done, and other pop culture like films have won awards, but I don't think when they're making the film that's what their aim is. Their aim is you know, Warner Brothers ruins their films because of it.
Yeah,
sometimes they have gems, you know, and then they decide to turn them into copper or whatever, and just beat them down until they're what they think people want, and then they find out they're completely wrong.
reverse alchemy. Before
at least they're trying things, you know. Sony just thinks they know what people want.
Yeah. Oh God. Let's hear from our sponsors over at Grow Generation before we get into our last segment. Spoiler talk about Mortal Kombat. It was an awesome movie, and it gets the blood pumping, but you know, blood pumping isn't always what you need. Sometimes you need to calm down, and if you are able to grow stuff, these guys can help you out. Take it away, Christine and Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys very much for sponsoring the episode. Annie, this is it. Spoilers. Mortal Kombat fucking kicked ass. Dude being Scorpion's son, I didn't mind at all. All people that are pissy about it, whatever. Bloody, glorious, all hell. Corny in all the great ways it needed to be, and god damn that soundtrack, man. Woo! Loved it. As a serious overall movie, I think that is a solid B- film. As compared to other video game films and somebody getting it, that is definitely like an A- film. Like they got it, man.
I you know, it's interesting because overall as a film I gave it a B-. Mm. But it fills my entertainment cup, but as a general film, there's a lot missing. But as a video game film, I don't think you necessarily could have done a better job. There's just too much there, man. Too many characters, too many storylines. If you would have focused on Liu Kang or Johnny Cage, then you'll have another group of people who are upset because you didn't focus on Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yep.
If you would have done the tournament, people would have been upset that it was so quick, and they would have been upset that there was no character development. There's no pleasing 100% of the people. Mm. So I appreciated the fact that they decided to do what they thought was best, which was to reintroduce the Mortal Kombat franchise through the eyes of a new character. Yeah. And I get it. People don't like it. People aren't going to like it. They're like, who's this new guy? Whatever. It's like, look, it's a franchise. If it was just one film, you guys would be mad. Mm-hmm. So let it play out. Enjoy it for what it is. And it's Mortal Kombat, man. Some people are going to die. And sometimes it's not going to be sometimes it's going to be your favorite character. I know that one of the deaths really pissed off a few people. But hey, man. It's Mortal Kombat. Some people are gonna die.
Yes.
So we all know that in video games, dead doesn't mean dead either.
Nope. You
know? So just don't be mad. And then I think another complaint I saw was the use of gosh darn it, what's the name of the sixth arm dude?
Oh, Goro.
Goro. And I was like, man, fuck that guy. Like, I hate the fact that people kept, you know, always want to bring him in. Like, yeah, he's cool, but he doesn't have as much, you know, I think, appeal as other characters like Liu Kang, Johnny Cage, obviously Sub-Zero and Scorpion. So just enjoy it for what it is. I will say, though, and you tell me this, one thing I did find annoying was all the cuts in some of the more main actors' fights.
Mm-hmm. You didn't see Sonya and not as much Cade, Kano and Sonya, and even Jax.
Oh no, absolutely Jax. And you didn't. And the thing is, and they're very smart. Their opening 7 minutes, aren't they brilliant?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just like, this movie's gonna be phenomenal.
Yep.
Because you have two, you know, classically trained
martial artists,
experienced veteran martial artists, just delivering. Right at that point, you're like, take all my fucking money. And then you go to these other actors who aren't necessarily as good. And it just kind of, to me, the level, the quality just kind of dropped quite a bit at that point.
Not as bad as the 95 film, but
no. Yeah. I found that very smart on their part to set it up to say, boom, and then just kind of you know, once they got you to sign the contract, it was too late. So that was, if there's one thing I will say that bothered me, it's that. But for the most part, I think I was the most shocking thing was how entertaining Kano was.
Yes. Kano was great, but on the side of that first 7 minutes, I will say this: Hollywood, listen to me. See the eyes. No more CGI blades. None. No more. Stop it. I would rather see you forget to take the bendy blade out in post and the hand and the blade still be going the right way than these magical blades that change within someone's hand. No more. Bring back the squibs and practical blood. Those were two things that did bug me about this film.
Yeah, you know you were gonna get CGI. There's no way. So I mean, just what did you think of using an original character to reintroduce?
I was down. I almost thought, because you early on see the Citizen Cage poster, mm-hmm. and so I almost think. Because I got to go back and double check. I don't think it was like Citizen Cage starring Johnny Cage. Maybe this Citizen Cage thing is a franchise and he goes out and he becomes Johnny Cage is what I thought was going to happen. I don't know if that's still a possibility or not. If it does, I would be okay. And if it doesn't, I'll be okay. I like this guy being descended from Scorpion. It opens the door for Hanzo to come back and potentially hand that down to Cole, which in and of itself is an interesting story. Fuck it. Combine. This is how much I love and how little I know and care about the canon game story, because what's important to me is getting the fights and the character attitudes right. Fuck mm-hmm. it. Combine it. Have him go to Hollywood, be Johnny Cage, and in the third movie becomes Scorpion. So he's like, get over here, splits, nut shot, uppercut into the pit. Done.
Did you miss the poster at the end where it said starring Johnny Cage?
Did it actually say star? See, that's what I was saying. I didn't know. I couldn't remember
They insinuated that they're
that he's going to find him. Yeah. So yeah, I'm fine with him being a normal person. A new character, because it's kind of like what you said in a video game we get so invested in characters that we inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why that movie Avatar's called Avatar, and the idea of what avatars are, Ready Player One's, Summer Wars, and anime. Giving us an original character we've never played before, I think, enhances the film.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the things I 100% agree with you. I just don't think there's a way to please everyone with the Mortal Kombat game. There's too many characters. And so if no matter who you focus on, there's going to be a group of people who are upset.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take out Liu Kang and add Johnny Cage. Same rage? Absolutely.
Yep.
But now it's a different group.
Yep.
If you can do that, you can shuffle anyone in and out that you want. But at the end, someone's going to be mad. There's going to be a group of people mad. So just do it to the best of the abilities you think it's going to work. And also, we have to keep in mind that they plan this as a franchise, not as a single film. So you don't know what they have planned up ahead.
They budgeted it for a franchise, which is key, because you have movies that wanted to be franchises that were budgeted as big budget, you know, were going to be successful. This was, we want a franchise, so we're going to make sure we make money, so let's make this as little as possible.
I thought it was done as well as it could have been made. So and did it give me the you know, check the boxes out of the things I wanted? Absolutely. And I was okay with not having the tournament yet, because I know that here's the world that we're going to be playing in. And so I got that, and I got some introduction to some of the characters, some of the key players, and hell, I was entertained.
Yeah. The clock's been reset. They have to lose 10 tournaments in a row. They just won, essentially, for all intents and purposes, a sort of tournament, which has pushed the next one on. So the next movie, we are likely to see a full-fledged Mortal Kombat, because I expect the elders to come in and be like, all right, we saw what you guys were fucking doing last time. This tournament's happening, you know, make a fucking arena and fucking Whis and Beerus that shit. That's Dragon Ball Super. And yeah, fucking A, man. Kudos to the composer and bringing in that music in an epic way, adding some orchestrated parts throughout the soundtrack, and when the full classic Techno Syndrome Mortal Kombat theme hits, it hits good, but it hits elevated, man. It's on Spotify, everyone, or not Spotify, Amazon Music. It might be on Spotify. I use Amazon Spotify. Music. Yeah. Go check it out in full. Another thing about the music, I loved the video game sounds, not necessarily Mortal Kombat video game, just the old-fashioned 16-32-bit era sounds that were blended into the music. Loved it. Well, what was your opinion on the music?
The music was great, man. It got me all hyped.
Gym theme track again?
Yeah, actually, I put it right into my playlist, so you're not wrong. And then I thought that was mixed with some of the corny lines that they delivered were very much of their time because I mean, this movie's made for us, man. Like Kevin Smith, you and I, who really enjoy, you know, cause you know, it's funny. I mentioned Kevin Smith because he almost always seems to like everything.
Yeah.
But the reasons why he likes things is because a lot of times it seems to awaken other emotions, other memories of him in the past. And I feel like this is the case with Mortal Kombat, fighting with my brother because, you know, one of us is button smashing. So it ends up with us fighting in real life. My mom being upset at the blood.
Quarters spent at the arcade.
Still, yeah. Yeah. You know, putting your quarter down to be next. And then seeing that the guy is pretty fucking amazing. So you're like, you know what? Never mind.
I'm going to go play Street Fighter.
You know, so it's a whole lot more than just the movie. So in that regards, you know, critics can kiss my ass, bro. This movie was fun. It was amazing. It did what it intended to do. It did not need to be an Oscar award nominee.
No, it did not. Like I shared earlier. I mean, that's a solid score, guys. 2,500 plus verified. 87% liked this movie. Mm-hmm. That is not shit. And I'll say this: 55% of the critics liking this film is actually surprising good, yeah. to me. Is the original Mortal Kombat in here? I don't think it would be. Annihilation is. Oh, God. Oh, man. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Let us know what you guys thought about Mortal Kombat in the comments below. Let us know what you think about the Oscar winners this year. And how do we get more stuffy people in executive offices to see movies outside of their normal wheelhouse? If you work in the industry, shove it down their throats. They like to do that to us.
We try to do that to them, everybody on LRM, with amazing interviews.
Yes. Mm. Speaking of LRM and the interviews, check out the website at lrmonline.com. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Hit the bell so you know when all of these awesome, awesome interviews. Guys, we had Mortal Kombat up our ass all week, so in a good way. We loved it. So check out all the interviews from them, especially if you've already seen the movie, because some really, really good insights into what went into making this film as amazing as it is, including stuff from Sub-Zero himself. Ooh. And then all of our great shows like LR Mornings, Monday Marvel Multiverse, Anime Verse Reviews, The Cantina, Breaking Geek Radio, all available on YouTube and wherever you get audio podcasts from Spotify, SoundCloud, Google, Apple, everywhere. All for free, 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 free. It's awesome. Manny, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at @LRM_Emmanuel. And you can also find me on Instagram at @RiddleMeThis_510. Got some good stuff this week. Laz Alonso for Wrath of Man. And then we also got an audio interview Cosmo helped me out with, because I don't necessarily do audio, with Ruben Blades. He had a phenomenal episode last night on Fear the Walking Dead. He's been around for 5 seasons now. This is his 6th. I got an exclusive one-on-one with him on his character, and then also Richard Cabral of Mayans MC. But he's got a lot going on, and man, the work he's put in this season absolutely stolen the season. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. I know there's a lot more, but as always, between Gig, Nancy, and I, we got it covered. We had a lot of those films that were nominated yesterday covered, and we're gonna keep doing that for another year.
Yep. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, guys, and subscribe to the podcast network. Find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.